Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's December 1st. From now until Christmas, you're going to hear why we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, because doing so excludes everybody. But we can celebrate every holiday elsewhere, because that's being inclusive when we're a nation that is dominated by the Christian faith. I don't know why we do it. I don't know about the guilt. I don't know about a lot of these things, but it makes me scratch my head. And quite frankly, I look up and think, what in God's name are we doing? There's a school in Oregon, and this is the beauty of the school in Oregon here, that sent out a memo to its teachers saying, you may still decorate your door or office if you like, but we ask that you be respectful and sensitive to diverse perspectives and beliefs of our community and refrain from using religious-themed decorations or images like Santa Claus. What? Wait, think about just let's think about that for a second. It's Christmas. This is the holiday. You can't have religious themes, and you can't put up Santa Claus. So we have run out of stuff to put up. At this point in time, I'm leaving my door blank because I've run out of things. I guarantee you, if I wanted to put up something from Hanukkah, right? Want to put up a dreidel? Hey, nobody's going to say anything. The inclusivity of the world should mean excluding Christians. It shouldn't mean excluding atheists who are celebrating because they have Santa Claus and they have kids. It shouldn't mean any of those things. This is the insanity of trying to be completely inclusive, all the while making sure we exclude the singularly largest group of people, because we may make other people feel bad, because there may be 60 people in a room and two people don't celebrate or don't believe in the faith that you follow or celebrate the holiday you're in. So because of that, nobody gets to do it. That is not being inclusive. There's inclusive and exclusive. This is excluding. We're excluding you. And the funny thing is the whole thing is life should be teaching moments. I want my kid to go to school, and I want him to learn about Islam, and I want him to learn about Judaism, and I want him to learn about all of the faiths, because I'm not afraid. I'm not. I'm not afraid of that. I want them to be taught. I want my child to learn. I want his mind to be open. I want him to understand that while he goes to church and he believes in Jesus and he loves it, he's going there tonight, he's very excited, he's going to his Awanas thing. But I want him to understand there are other religions out there. And then we both must be respectful, but it's a two-way street of respect. Here's a great commercial out. I think it's an Amazon commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, but they get it more than a lot of other people. It is a priest and it is an imam. And they're hanging out, and the imam goes over to the priest's house, and they're having dinner, and they're laughing, and they're relaxing and stuff. And they get up and their knees are sore. And they each go onto Amazon and they send them both themselves like knee pads because they're praying and stuff. I thought it was funny. The fact that Amazon is being more inclusive and showing. Life should be about learning. If you're not learning, you're dying. Every day you should want to learn something new. Something about your neighbor, something about your culture, something every single day that's new. I talk to Jack every single night, and first thing I ask him is, what'd you learn in school today? Last night, he talked about how there's tens of billions of stars that make up whole bunches of galaxies. He's 6. I want him to know those things. I want him to learn about everything. I'm not afraid of him learning about Islam. I'm not afraid of him learning about Judaism or Buddhism or any of the. I'm not afraid of that. But I don't want him to be told because he's a Christian, because he believes in God, because he believes in Jesus, and he likes Santa Claus, that he can't have those things, because there may be somebody inside of the place that he's at that may feel uncomfortable. That is a bunch of bunk and BS. That's not who we are. We're not some wild mob that turns around to the kid who may be Hindu or who may be of the Islamic faith, some Muslim kid, and we're like, you don't like Santa Claus? And we throw stuff at him. the learning experience is like, well, we celebrate Christmas. What do you guys celebrate? We celebrate Ramadan. We celebrate. There's a learning experience. Oh, my God, we've learned more. I know more now than I did when I came here. Oh, my goodness me. And let me tell you something. This year, I'm going to say this. I'm throwing this out there. Because of the man in the White House, because of how he came about to the power that he's now gotten, which is the president of the United States, how this wave of euphoria that started people to feel, it's like they no longer are going to sit there and let you tell them happy holidays or, you know, whatever the way that you're going to skirt around the issue, because they're sick and tired of it. And this is what happens when you start saying we need to be inclusive, but we're going to exclude you. We need for everybody to be completely inclusive. We need to welcome all faiths, but we're going to kick the Christians out. We're going to kick the atheists out who believe in Santa Claus. We're going to move them over here because these people will feel bad. First of all, if your religion is not strong enough to withstand a Christmas tree, probably should think about it again. You ever noticed that, like immaturity, right? Like, I get hate mail every day. I think some of it's hilarious. Some of it's rude and crude, but some of it's hilarious. It is. And I know who it comes from. It comes from the same people every single day. And by that, I mean not the same texter, not the same emailer, not the same caller. It's just that person is the same person, just a different state. Fear. World's changing. Fear. Ooh, fear, fear, fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of this, fear of that. Fear. If you are afraid to learn about somebody else's culture, then maybe your culture struggles. Maybe your culture is not mature enough. This is the big thing we have with Islam, right? It's as much a culture issue as it is anything else. But I know a lot of mature Muslims who are strong enough in their faith to know that Christmas is okay. My friend is Jewish, and one year they celebrated Christmas. Took the kids to get the pictures with Santa Claus, and they wanted the kids to understand what Santa Claus was at Christmas and the whole nine yards. They thought it was fun. And every year after that, they got a Christmas tree, and Santa Claus brought them something. Not because they believed in Jesus, not because they did or any of these things, like they renounced their faith, because they thought it was okay. They thought it was okay. The kids liked Santa Claus. Why do we do this to ourselves every year? Why? You got a school in Oregon who's telling the teachers, hey, let's be diverse and inclusive. Let's not leave anybody out. But if you could make sure that you have no religious pictures or designs up that celebrate the holiday and make sure Santa Claus isn't around, we'll all be good. You've run out of stuff. You've run out of stuff. And they dig deeper. They dig deeper. They put out a statement on Tuesday, November 29th. One of our local media outlets ran a story about HSD with the title School Ban Santa. The story itself, which talked about our guidance to staff around refraining from decorating with overtly religious or strictly Christmas-related items, wasn't bad and correctly reported that several surrounding districts have similar guidelines in place. However, the title of the piece was very upsetting. Because you're telling them they can't do it. You're telling them you can't. I was a kid. We had several faiths in school until I went to a Christian school. And I was kicked out of there. I was kicked out of another one. And then I went back to public school. We had several faiths there. And as you get older, nobody cares, right? But when we were kids, man, we learned. I sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I sang, you know, Here Comes Santa Claus. And we sang all of these songs. And you know what? Nobody freaked out. Nobody died. Nobody said, oh, my God, how dare you? Just because you're predominant in one thing, i.e. Christianity, and again, about what, 70-some percent of America, almost 80%, believes in God and supports some sort of Christian faith, Catholicism, whatever it is. Just because of that doesn't mean that everybody's a Christian is going to beat down or belittle people who don't. And if you're not going to be able to show how you can have diversity together, i.e., you're a Muslim, I'm a Christian, we can be friends, let's talk about our faith, look at this, we do this, you do that. What do you think? Little Muslim kids don't recognize Santa Claus is everywhere? The parents keep them in until January 1st? No. Teaching moments. These are about teaching moments. If you want to put up stuff with Hanukkah, great. Do it. Teaching moments. This is what happens. We learn from one another. This is the great thing about America, is we are diverse. The problem is the people that scream about diversity the most, the people that want diversity the most, the people that want to be the inclusive people are the most excluding of them all, because they hate anything that doesn't jive with the narrative that goes through their head, which is, if you're a Christian, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Santa Claus is bad because there may be somebody here. Your thought pattern's different than mine. Well, we can't be friends because I believe this and you're wrong and I won't have anything to hear with you. Again, when we talk about diversity, it's not skin color. It's not sexuality. It's not religion. It's thought. It's your mind. What's in your mind? If you think different than me and I think different than you, we can still be friends. We can show, hey, look, it's diversity, real diversity. And Christmas, you're going to hear 100 of these stories, and it's sad. But I think this year, more than any other time, you're going to see pushback like you haven't seen. Because people, and this is what happens when you push back on people and you bully them. You know who you are out there, you thought police people. Eventually, you're going to get pushed back upon. This snowflake generation, I think, is going to have a rude awakening this holiday season. And by the way, I say Merry Christmas. Because it's Christmas. Right? Like, it's not holiday. It's Christmas. What are we celebrating? Christmas. But just call it a holiday. That's not it. That's not it.
Chad?
Yes?
Yeah, I don't get why people, if someone, I'm grew up Catholic, I don't understand why people get so offended if you're out somewhere and someone says Happy Hanukkah to you. It's a very nice thing to say. You can just say thank you.
And this goes back to the maturity of people. This goes back to the maturity of a lot of things. And by that, I mean, if you make fun of some people, they laugh it off. It's no big deal. They're mature about it. They don't care. You make some fun of some people elsewhere, they lose it. They can't control themselves. I can watch Family Guy tonight, and I can see Jesus in a bunch of horrible situations. Couldn't have that with certain faith. Sad but true.
You know what it is, Chad?
What?
It's me being offended because I have a poster of Creed on my desk, and you have a poster of Nickelback on your desk.
Boom. That's true. You know what? Absolutely. And both of them are just horrible, right? That's just a horrible choice. But it's true. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We do what's next. What is it? Well, let me tell you, today we're going to tackle education. What's next for education, Chad Benson Show?
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah! Let's get crazy!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome.
We'll do what's next here with education. We were talking about Christmas and the fact that, once again, people are starting to be frustrated with the way that the inclusivity crowd likes to exclude Christmas and people who like Santa Claus and whatnot from what goes on in schools and everywhere else. Happy holidays, whatever. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-424-2423. That's the number to call. You can text it as well. We got a lot of texts coming in. 323-538-2423. Jason in Arizona, what's going on?
You know, I was sitting here listening, and first of all, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to everybody that has a problem with Christmas. Christmas is a mismatch of a whole bunch of different belief systems put together. there are different cultures that have different names for Santa Claus who aren't even really Santa Claus. I think one of them has a witch that they consider to be Santa Claus who delivers little presents inside your shoes outside your door. It's a time for you to give thanks, and to, or not give thanks, but to give selfishly and to give to others and not think about yourself, and that's what people are missing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, man, and I appreciate your call. I understand, and you get it, and the frustration I think that we all get is we get blamed for things. Because we are this, somehow we should feel bad, and we should stop what we're doing because maybe somebody else will feel bad. We can't do that in life. We got to stop doing that. We do. And we're going to touch on this in a little bit. We do a segment every day. It's called What's Next? And What's Next for Education? It's going to be very interesting moving forward in the world of education. We've got a woman now that is going to be taking over the education side of things. And she, Betsy DeVos is her name. And let me tell you something. She is a woman that you need to know. She's about choice. She is a woman that did not support Trump. She's definitely a Washington outsider. People are, you know, not sure what to make of her. She not only supports choice through school vouchers and several other things, she's also a proponent of expansion of charter schools, and she doesn't support Common Core. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a big change in education. That's what I think is next for it. I think education is going to find that there is going to be a new sheriff in town, and that there's going to be competition among schools, which is, I think, what she wants to create, and competition amongst educations, and the unions won't like that. The one thing that a lot of people criticism is that she's never been a teacher or worked in this side of education. But, you know, as she's pointed out, there's been a lot of people that have held this job that had never been an administrator or a teacher before. That's not a prerequisite for a job. And just because you are something doesn't mean you'll be great at something else. I think we got to remember that. So what's next for education? It's going to be very interesting to see how education moves forward. Will Common Core be dismantled? I think parts of it may be. How is this going to trickle down to our kids that we're teaching them one way, now we're teaching them something else? The confusion there. What's next for education, I think, is a fight in some areas. But I think there also could be areas of competition, which I think is great. More competition, the better for all. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. And it breaks their heart.
Oh, it breaks.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. A lot of people are texting in about this Christmas and political correctness. People are angry. Some people say stuff, you sit there. You know, one person wrote, I'm going to put Merry Christmas lights all over my car with Merry Christmas on top of it. Go for it. Knock yourself out. You want to find a fascist? Look for a progressive. Another one says progressive, find a fascist. Oh, my goodness me. Look, you know what? You can text the show 323-538-2423. Back to the education thing really quick. I'm a huge fan of fixing our education system. Look, we've got to do something. I think our education system is at times stagnant. A lot of times we have people who have good ideas, but we're afraid to implement them. And I see it all the time. It's not just in education. It's in the business world. People who innovate get ahead. But to innovate, know this, to innovate, you have to accept the fact that there may be failure along the way. If you want to innovate in life, you're going to have to fail. Not everything's going to be a home run. Sometimes our segments suck. Sometimes they're really good. Luckily, it's the latter part more often than not. You got to go for stuff. You got to try stuff. And I think in education, we've got to start trying to innovate. The problem is it's always been done this way. So we'll always do it this way. oh, we may tinker here or there, No Child Left Behind, Common Core, but for all intents and purposes, it's still the same thing. We got to adjust, right? We've got to figure things out. We have to move and be a little bit more nimble and understand. We have to be forward thinking. Look at where a kid who's six now is going to be in X amount of years. What's the world going to look like then? Are we teaching them things now that are going to have no basis in the world that we're living? We have to start figuring stuff out. And I think education needs a kick in the pants. I think education needs a real kind of change. And Betty DeVos, this lady, she's about choice. She's about vouchers. She's about opportunities. She's about charter schools. She's about homeschool. She's about a lot of different things. I don't see a problem. Mostly what you get is pushback. When you see charter schools or vouchers, where does the pushback come from? Is it parents? As a parent myself, I want to be able to have flexibility and mobility in my child's education. If I feel that my child is getting a poor education here, I want the opportunity to take them out of there and put them somewhere else. Don't you want that? And think about that for a second. Think about that for just 1 second. If we can just really think about, where else would you tell somebody, you got to go here, it's crap, you may not learn anything, but you're stuck to it. You're stuck here. Even though, unless you want to take them and put them in a school, you know, unless you want to take them and put them in private school and that comes out of your own pocket, and vouchers are about, hey, I am pissed. My kid's not getting an education. I got a voucher that says I can go across the street to a private school and I can put that kid in private school and that kid will get the education I think he or she deserves comparatively to what you're doing to my kid. Right now, there's no competition for public schools. Yes, there are private schools out there, but many private schools are very expensive. And, you know, a lot of kids can't afford that. Their parents can't afford it. They're living paycheck to paycheck. I like education, when it comes to education. I see nothing wrong with it. You know who does? Unions. Unions do. Yesterday, we talked about the unions with the Fight for 15. Give us $15 an hour. Yeah. Year before last, I had somebody on who was from the, when it Fight for 15 just started. It was one of the Walmart people. And you could tell there was another person on the phone with him giving him props, you know, prompts and telling him to say this, that. It wasn't an antagonistic. You listen to my, you know who I am. I'm not antagonistic. I want to, you know, figure out where you're coming from, what angle. The unions fight tooth and nail. They don't want to lose students because losing students means losing revenue. Losing revenue means teachers are going to leave. Teachers are going to leave. They're going to lose revenue for the unions. It's all about control. I live in a state where the teachers union in my state is singularly the most powerful organization. There's nothing more powerful than the teachers union here. I want choice. Who wouldn't want to move their kid and give them a better opportunity? Nobody says, you know what? I'm going to give my kid whatever opportunity is out there. And if it's a crappy one, then that's the one we're stuck with. Here's the big thing. When choice comes, when choice is in front of them, and they don't feel their kids getting a fair shake, or they don't feel their kids getting any kind of education that's worth a damn, they don't feel like they're getting served, and they feel like the only thing that's happening is the teachers are serving themselves in a lot of ways, or the union especially is, and they don't feel they're getting what they need, you'd be surprised. I bet you more people leave. I think education may have found somebody who's going to give parents choice. And as a parent, I want choice. That's what I want. We're getting fatter. I know, shocker. Is that really a shocker that we're getting fatter? I don't think it's really a shocker that we're getting fatter, but we're getting chunkier. And here's the weird thing. We don't recognize that we're getting fatter. I found this to be it's a head scratcher in a lot of ways. We are getting bigger. In fact, we're getting bigger to the point where, you know, we're up 20, 30, 40 pounds. And a lot of us don't recognize the fact that we're overweight. We don't recognize the fact that we're deluding ourselves, as they say. Nearly half of America's overweight people don't recognize they're overweight. That's crazy. That's super crazy. And now we're heading into the season where food is everywhere. Potlucks, cakes, donuts, which tomorrow's Donut Friday. Candy, it's all there. It's cold outside, so we're not as active, and the pounds kind of slowly come on. Pants get a little tighter. What happens? But we don't recognize it. In this new study, it was amazing. Today, 7 in 10 Americans are obese or overweight, but only 36% think they have weight issues. One of it is the fact that we have started to change what our ideal is of what is a normal person, weight-wise. So where maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, 5'10", 170 pounds was okay. Now 194, we think it's okay. 194 is okay. We think it's okay. Because we've slowly gotten to the point where most everybody around us is in that similar situation, so we think we're okay. That's why when you see, now look, there are exceptions to the rules. You could be 195 pounds and not an ounce of fat on you, and you could be, you know, 150 pounds and you're sick. Exceptions to all kinds of rules. But a lot of what we're doing is we mimic behavior, if you will. We see something, it's like, well, I'm not as fat as that guy, or hey, we're the same kind of size. I think that guy looks okay. Or, you know, and that's what we're getting. And we're also, as a group, we graze together. We put on weight together. And we don't notice it. And when you talk to most people, like producer Phil, you and I joke about it all the time. But we joke about it's like, if your pants still can get on, it's okay.
Absolutely.
And that's how we do it. It's crazy, but true. I'm looking, you know, I know I need to lose about 30 pounds. I keep in pretty good shape. I run, I work out, not as much as I was a couple months ago, but you know, I still work out a fair bit comparatively, and I think I've got that on most of the country.
Well, I'll tell you this. My belt I've had to move up a couple notches in my belt since I quit smoking.
Yeah, yeah, which was to be expected. As you quit smoking, you transfer that. But the fact that we don't recognize it isn't because we're fooling or deluding ourselves. Like it says, I think it's because we believe that we're normal. We believe, oh, well, this is okay. It's no big deal, right? Like, this is cool. Like, you know, I my pants still fit fine. I feel okay. My blood pressure is good. Well, would it be better? Would you feel better if you lost weight? I think it's a little bit, again, misleading in the delusional side of things, because you're not walking around going, I have a six pack. Like, I joke, I have dad bod. Not ashamed about it. It's what it is. I'm 45 years old. I played pro soccer. I was fit. I was ripped. I was all of those things. Those days have long since gone. But I could be fitter. I could eat better. I could make wiser choices. But am I delusional to think, I look at myself and I think, I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds. I'd like to lose a few inches off my waist. I can be in better shape. But I'm not delusional to think that I don't think I need to lose those. But there are times when I think, well, I don't look bad. I think we all do that. Because you don't want to get in front of a mirror and go, I look disgusting. And that's usually when you make that big change, right? When you get in front of the mirror or you like you run out of breath putting on shoes. Like if you run out of breath putting on shoes, then you probably need to work out. Unless you have lung problems. Then there probably needs to be a switch and change in dietary lifestyle and lifestyle changes altogether. Speaking of lifestyle changes, this is one that helps you, keeps you healthy, helps you with all the things we just talked about. And oh, by the way, it tastes delicious. I'm talking about Super Beets. Super Beets is a great gift this holiday season. You're looking to maybe make a change. You're thinking to yourself, man, I spent a ton of money on soda and energy drinks and coffee. Hey, knock it off. Do something healthy. Get yourself some energy. Get yourself some oomph. I take my Super Beets everywhere I go. And let me tell you something. Within 20 minutes, Super Beets kicks in. I feel great. My stamina is amazing. It helps me with my blood flow. It takes the dietary nitrates right in my body and then converts those to nitric oxide. It's easy to use. Just got to put it in some water, maybe a smoothie or yogurt, and away you go. And within 20 minutes, you feel the difference. And trust me, after what we were just talking about, getting healthy, little things like this go a long way. Is that true, producer?
That is very true. I've been feeling better since I've been taking Super Beets, getting over a cold. And it's a wonderful thing. It tastes great. I put it in water. I was actually, when I was sick, I was putting it in hot water because it sort of helped everything go on. And it was just a wonderful thing, and it tastes great.
Tastes great. And that's a big fear. Look, trust me. Things that usually make you feel good, your body inside, they don't make feel good going down because they don't taste great. Super Beets is the exception to the rule, and you will love it. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. Also, get nitric oxide indicator strips. They're free to use before and after. Make sure it's working in your body. You're going to get a book called Beat the Odds. Talks about the great things that Beets does for your body. And it comes to you all with free shipping. Again, perfect gift for that person out there. Maybe that person is you. It's guaranteed or your money back. They put their money where their mouth is. Guaranteed or your money back. Go to ChadBeets.com. That's ChadBeets.com. Or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff really works. Go to ChadBeets.com. Order today or call 800-561-2677. What? Say what? Next.
Your mama.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what? Say what? Say what? Say what? That's right. I said your mama.
Now, I guess, like, I don't even know how you even put this out. Like, this guy's busy and confused. He's a German spy. Right? So he's a German spy. He's also a Islamist. Jihadist? And oh, by the way, he happened to also be a gay porn actor. Like, he went super undercover. He literally took one for the motherland.
That is odd.
Was it the fatherland? I don't know. Somebody's land. Some parental land. He took one for the parental land. Is that, like, you're busy, right? You're like, first, I must go over here and shoot a new movie. Don't worry, it's an educational video. Called The Spy Who Loved Me, Part 2. Then from there, I will go over and be a real spy, and then I will go to mosque. Apparently, this guy was, I mean, like, that's busy. He's a terrorist. He was a German spy, so he's a double agent. And a gay for play, pay for gay porn actor.
I thought they didn't like the gays over there.
I don't know. Now, he says, apparently, they called the dude, performed in man-on-man skin flicks up until 2011. And he used the same name that he uses as his stage name. You got to have a better name than that, right? Das Hammer. Meinfried Das Hammer. Mein Kampf, but du, the struggle. Oh, my Lord. Say what? I don't know what's funnier. The fact that this rodent, i.e. this beaver. Hey, it's me, the beaver. Rolled on into this this store in St. Mary's County, Maryland. Or the name of the sheriff who had to go out there. Okay, so I like the beaver. It's great. And he, by the way, he thrashed all the Christmas stuff. Christmas is horrible. This is the worst. That's what he said. But here's the name of the Corporal Yingling. I thought at first they had named the beaver Corporal Yingling. I thought that's cool. But no, that's actually the name. So apparently he destroyed everything he could see in the Christmas aisle. Now he's gone viral. Isn't that great? There's a beaver walking around right now. So many of you try this every day. And all you had to do was be a cute beaver.
Was there he was radicalized?
He wasn't radicalized. He wasn't. He's not hashtag Trump. Hashtag Trump's not my president. But all of you out there, try this. You want to go viral, right? It's your dream. And right now there's a beaver sitting somewhere and he thrashed a Walmart and he's super viral. Does that make you feel sad? It kind of does, huh? Sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us thy show, 323-538-2423. Hey, look at this Christmas tree. I'm going to gnaw on it. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.